74 years ago today, the United States was reeling from the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared war.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
A date which will live in infamy, that memorable phrase we know so well today. Well, it turns out that in the first draft that FDR wrote, it was a date that will live in world history. The edited copy of this speech is just one of many now available to the public through the Franklin Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum website. Paul Sparrow is the library's director. He joins us from Hyde Park, New York. Paul, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much for having me.
And tell us more about that famous speech from December 8th, 1941. What does your archive show?
Well, it's really, really very interesting story in how that speech came to be. Roosevelt found out about the attacks Sunday afternoon around 1:43. And after about 3 hours, he went into a side office with his assistant, Grace Tully, and sat down. And as she described it, he leaned back in his chair, took a long drag on his cigarette, and began dictating, and basically did the entire speech in one take.
Wow.
She then typed it up and brought it back to him. And as he was going through it, he noticed that you can see his edits where he changes, you know, world history to infamy, and he changes simultaneously to suddenly make some other edits in it. And so it's really a wonderful and graphic illustration of his mastery of the spoken word, his understanding of the radio communication. This was the address he was going to give to Congress, but he knew that millions of people would be listening on the radio. And so he was trying to craft his message in a way that would have maximum impact for his radio audience.
The other famous phrase from FDR that everybody knows is the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But again, this was an edit from the original draft of his first inaugural address.
This is one of the reasons why this new master speech file resource is so important. You can go back and look at all the different drafts of that speech. And if you go back and look at his original handwritten draft and then the first type version of that, his first inaugural address, that phrase doesn't appear anywhere in it. But it was his close personal assistant, Louis Howe, who actually added that in draft three. It's not exactly sure where he got that phrase. You know, it had kicked around in a couple different places, but then it appears in all of the drafts after that. So being able to go through those master speech files, see all of the versions, and see how these things emerge. Of course, so two of the most famous lines from the Roosevelt administration, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, and a date which will live in infamy, there were things that evolved as they were writing those scripts. And I think that's one of the important things that this resource provides, especially for students, to help them understand that they're not going to get it perfect the first time. It's okay to rewrite and to edit and to get input from other people. And of course, it also shows the evolution of these speeches and sometimes how things changed as they were trying to craft that message.
Well, and here he is in that famous speech in 1933.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
What is the significance of all of this now being available online to anyone who wants to see it, to listen to it, to read all the things that FDR wrote and said?
FDR really believed in open government. You know, he created the first presidential library because he felt that his records belonged to the American people, and he wanted to create a place where they could all be stored together, where people could come and look at them and explore them and understand how our government works. Now, if you look at this collection, it goes back all the way to when he was a high school student. The first speech listed in this resource is from 1898. He was 16 years old at Groton, and he's writing a rebuttal, a debate rebuttal to whether or not the United States should annex Hawaii. He even specifically references Pearl Harbor as a place that would be available for a coal delivery system for the ships that would need coal to burn their steamers. And he says that if we were to try to defend Hawaii, it would cost us $100 million a year to rebuild our Navy. Again, this is 1898 as a 16-year-old. So he had a real passion and grasp for world politics and, of course, a deep love of the Navy. And so many of the issues that they were dealing with in the 1930s and 1940s, minimum wage, Social Security, income inequality, global terrorism, the whole concept of what a United Nations could do to prevent war, you know, these are all issues that we're dealing with again today. So when you go back and look at the foundations of our current democracy, you realize that much of the parameters of what we understand of today as how our government works were created by Franklin Roosevelt.
That's Paul Sparrow, the director of the Franklin Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum, now offering 46,000 pages of speeches by FDR and 315 of those speeches in audio form at their website. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.